point, but I'm just not there yet. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we have the freedom to come and assemble in your presence and open your word and study it. We ask that only those things that are of you, that are in line with your word and are inspired by your spirit, would go forward and be heard and understood. We ask that all those things which are of man would be lost along the way. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Little Tommy carried his new boat, to the edge of the river. He carefully placed it in the water and slowly let out the string. How smoothly the little boat sailed. Tom sat in the warm sunshine, admiring the little boat that he had built. Suddenly a strong wind caught the boat. Tommy tried to pull it back to shore, but the string boat broke. The little boat raced downstream. Tommy ran along the sandy shore as fast as he could, but his little boat soon slipped out of sight. All afternoon he searched for the boat, and finally, when it was too dark to search any longer, he went home, very discouraged. A few days later, on his way to school, he spotted a boat just like his in a store window. It was the local pawn shop. When he got closer, he could see, sure enough, it was his boat, and he hurried into the store manager. "Sir, that's my boat in your window. I built it." "Sorry, son, but someone else brought it in this morning. If you want it, you have to buy it for a dollar." Well, Tommy ran home and counted all everything he had in his piggy bank. He had exactly a dollar, and he reached the store. He rushed to the counter. "Here's the money for my boat." As he left the store, he hugged the boat he'd created and said, "Now you're mine twice. Once I made you, and second time, I bought you." Redemption is a popular theme when we study the scriptures. In our study in the account of Ruth, we find the word redeem or redemption no less than 15 times in the fourth chapter. Redeem means to set free as from slavery or kidnapping by providing money or other compensation. The overall account of the Old Testament book of Ruth is a beautifully painted picture of one whose life, hope, and future were lost. But with the actions of one kind man, they were restored, redeemed, and given a second chance. This morning we continue where we left off last week, and in the third chapter we witness Naomi make some risky moves as she prepared Ruth to meet and offer herself to Boaz. Unsure of how things would go, trusting in Boaz as a kind and honorable man, Ruth acted in obedience to Naomi and ventured into the threshing floor as instructed. Everything played out perfectly, and Boaz responded to Ruth's invitation in a favorable manner. Ruth awoke early in the morning and, laden with a large amount of barley, returned to the safety of her home and her mother-in-law. And the chapter concluded with Boaz giving his word that the matter would be resolved the following day. And we're not going to give them the answers now, right? We're going to make them work for this. As we reviewed last week's passage, we came with three truths pertaining to life as God's children. Anybody remember what they were?
Security, submission, stability.
Right on. Security, submission. I can't even say it. Security, submission, and stability. That's right. Considering our security, we found that our security for the uncertainties of life is found in our relationship with God. He's our refuge, our fortress, our source of strength. Under the theme of submission, Ruth submitted to the authority of Naomi. Boaz submitted to the authority of the other kinsman redeemer. And we're called to submit to the authority of God. He created us. He mapped out our lives, and he has a wonderful plan for each one of us. And finally, stability. And I quoted this passage last week, and given the events of this past week on the world stage, they're even more important in Isaiah 33. And he will be the stability of our times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. But he, not us, not any world leader, our God will be the stability of our uncertain times. And despite the uncertainties of the world, our stability, our confidence, our assurance is found in no one other than our God. Now looking to the opening verses of chapter 4, we see that Boaz was good to his word and started the day by traveling to the city gate. In biblical times, this was where the elders of the community would congregate. It was there where business was carried out. It was sort of a combination of the city council chamber and a courtroom all combined. And as only God could orchestrate, the other kinsman redeemer, the other relative of Naomi's late husband, happened to be passing through the city gates at this time. A coincidence? I think not. At this point, Boaz enters into a discussion with the man and presents him with the opportunity to lay claim to and redeem the property belonging to his distant relative. It says in verse 4, I thought I would tell you of it and say, but in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of today, if you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Well, initially this other relative was eager to take on this property, but then Boaz added that there was a little wrinkle in the fabric, so to speak, that to take on this property, he was also taking on another wife and mother-in-law. Then Boaz said, the day that you buy the field from the woman, from the hand of Naomi, you acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Immediately the man put the brakes on the arrangement. He was already married and had a family, and the thought of bringing a second wife and family into the dynamic was more than he could comprehend. And he had a lot of wisdom there. Uh-oh, I just got the look. We'll leave that alone. He was concerned with what he would do, what this would do to his own estate and his own family's inheritance. Taking into account the impact such a decision would have on his future, the first redeemer was quick to rescind his offer. He said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Well, in the verses that follow, we find the strange custom put into practice. When a transaction was completed, one man would take off his sandal and pass it to the other. Now, I looked and I studied. I can't find anywhere if they actually gave the sandal back afterwards, or if you went on your way with a sandal missing. It sounds kind of odd, but that was the symbol they gave when they signed a contract. It was legal and it was binding. With the sandal passed between the men, the stage was set and Boaz was able to continue with his plan. It says, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to her, all that belonged to her two sons, and also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of her inheritance, of his inheritance. And she goes on. So it was official. Boaz would become the husband of Ruth. He would acquire the property belonging to Naomi. He would adopt the responsibility and the rights that go with that property and the family name. Then it talks about how the community was involved. Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily of Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And it goes on about blessing them for a child to be born. And it's at this point, this blessing over Ruth and Naomi is made. Specifically, they request that Ruth would have the privilege of providing offspring in her family name. And this would be a great time of celebration to see the relationship come to completion. By this point, everyone in Bethlehem would have been apprised to the plight of Naomi and Ruth. They would have known how destitute they were and how bleak their future was. Much more, they would have been privy to the practice of the kinsman redeemer and how it would play out. And when the closer redeemer refused to proceed, it opened the door for Boaz to lay claim to the woman that he'd come to love and value. And it was, in effect, a marriage made in heaven and ordained by God. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and she gave her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Reading on, we see the blessing. The woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. So here's the women of the village speaking a blessing over Naomi. And you have to wonder if they had pondered the reality of the very situation possibly happening to them themselves. As women in a male-dominated society, they were nothing from the death of their own husband away from facing that same plight. And speaking a blessing over Naomi and now over Boaz, they were calling upon God to guide and direct their steps. It says, he shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. And your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. And it's at this point we see a Naomi respond to God's hand of blessing. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And then the part that's really quite interesting, it talks about his name. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David. And we didn't make Janice read all those names. But if you follow that whole line all the way down, it brings you to Jesus, which is quite amazing. Given the name, the means through this child was born, given that his start came as a result of a kinsman redeemer. He's the child of Naomi, seen as the child of Naomi, even though she carries on the name of her late husband. And then we have that list of names, which we're not going to try to read at all. And the final verse of the chapter contains the genealogy that brings us down to King David. David, who, if we follow that line, brings us down to Jesus himself. So what are we to take away from this book, this study of Ruth? Do we see it as a document about coincidences? Is it a record of luck and how chains of events come together? How heartache can be turned into blessing? Or is it a bigger, more powerful message contained within these four chapters? The truth is, this short book is about God's love and provision. This short book is about God's intervention when man is at a loss. This short book is about God's provision and providence. And this short book is about God's mercy and grace bestowed upon his children. And this short book provides a picture of Jesus as our own personal redeemer. Remember again that the theme or the topic of kinsman redeemer is rooted in biblical history. It was the law back recorded in the 25th chapter of Leviticus. And the purpose of these laws was to preserve the name and protect the property of families in Israel. God owned the land and didn't want it exploited by rich people who took advantage of those who were poor or who were widows. And when obeyed, these laws would make sure that a dead man's family name would not die with him and his property was not sold outside the tribe or the clan. The kinsman redeemer was exactly what the title suggests. Kinsman means close relative, and the closer the relative, the greater the responsibility. In the case of Boaz and the unnamed prospective redeemer, it appears that he was closer in the family line than Boaz. And as a result, the responsibility was first to fall on him. And as we heard before, redeeming means to pay a set fee for, or there was a set, a redeeming meant being set free by paying a price. In the case of Naomi, he was sold. She was had sold or was in the process of selling the land that belonged to her husband. That would be her only means of providing for herself and Ruth. And seeing the land put up for sale, knowing that it would soon be outside the family name, it was the responsibility of the kinsman redeemer to step in and restore the property to its rightful owners. Boaz, the honorable and respected man, was the one who stepped up and embraced the option. And I want to take a few minutes and consider how all that's involved in becoming a kinsman redeemer, and when then do a comparison to this as Jesus, with Jesus as our redeemer. It begins with you have to begin to be kin. You have to be a relative. A kinsman redeemer was required to be part of the same family. Someone from another family was not permitted to take on this role. You had to be willing. This was not a responsibility that was forced upon you. As we saw in the account of Ruth and Boaz, the other kinsman redeemer was a closer relative, but when he discovered there was an additional wife, he backed out of the transaction. You have to be able to restore. Being willing was only the introductory part of the process. You have to have financial resources to carry out the process. If you want to be the kinsman redeemer but have no money, you're not able to proceed. You had to pay the full price. There was no such thing as a partial redemption. Unless the full price was paid, there was no redemption at all. So how was Jesus our kinsman redeemer? Prior to the arrival of Jesus, we the human race were much like Ruth. Due to our sinful condition, we were lost, desperate, and destitute. We had no hope. Romans 3:23 speaks that verse many of us learned in Sunday school. For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Due to our sinful condition, due to our lost state, we were all separate from God and distant from the relationship he wanted to have with us. Jesus became like us. Because the Redeemer had to be like of like kind, Jesus had to become like us. If Jesus did not take on humanity, there would be no way that he could redeem us. And since sin came into the world through one man, it took another man to bring about our salvation. This would require our sinless God to take on human form. In the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became like us, like you and me, and this put him in a rightful position to redeem us. Jesus was willing to do it. A few months ago, we completed our study in the New Testament letter to the Philippians. And in that study, we discussed how Jesus set aside his heavenly nature and took on the form of a man. Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on the cross, even death on the cross. See, much like Boaz, who gave up his freedom, who put his own estate in jeopardy, who took on the responsibility of Ruth and Naomi, Jesus gave up his life as a sacrifice. He gave up his own free will. He did this by his own free will. In John 10, we read, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." See, Jesus, out of love for God the Father and love for each one of us, was willing to lay down his life and pay the price for our sins. Jesus paid the complete price for our sins. The amazing thing about redemption is that it's complete redemption. There's nothing else needed to complete or pass it on. Once paid for, once and for all. When we think about the kinsman redeemer, it's all about the lost being found. You and I were lost in our sin, and Jesus stepped in. He restored what was lost and gave us our new identity in Christ. The most amazing part is that we never have to worry about being redeemed again. Jesus paid it all. Our redemption is once and for all. The account of Ruth and Boaz is more than a romance. The account of Ruth and Boaz is more than God's matchmaking. The account of Ruth and Boaz paints the picture of Jesus redeeming the sinful human race, restoring our life-giving relationship with our Heavenly Father. In a few minutes, we gather at the Lord's table and commemorate the truth that Jesus was and remains our kinsman redeemer. It's a table of restoration. It's a table about God's love. Let's come to the table this morning thankful that as followers of Christ, we have been redeemed. We are welcomed into the family of God. The price of sin has been paid, and we will forever be his children of the living God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your hand upon our